Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced disease syndromes, please go to www.drcarley.com, that's drcarley.com, and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on history alone. I do not have to see people in person. So please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense detector and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer questions, so feel free to call in. The number is 877-270-8714. I've just been advised that the 800 number, the Canadian number, is not working at this point. It's fine if you use only your first name when you call in, and all shows are archived. Every week I will answer the question, what is ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware of what's going on, and especially that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. Tonight's show, we're going to get into a very ugly subject, one of the ugliest subjects that I've been researching, what's ailing America, and not only America, but the world at large, and that is something called eugenics, which is basically leading to genocide. And I want to read to you the definition of eugenics from my medical dictionary, Dorland's Illustrated Medical Dictionary, the 25th edition, where it says that eugenics is the study and control of procreation as a means of improving the hereditary characteristics of a race. Now, that may sound something to you like what happened in Nazi Germany, and that's exactly what it is. In fact, many of the scientists that worked in Nazi Germany were actually brought to this country under something called Project Paperclip, where there's many of them still working in laboratories today in this country, especially laboratories associated with Rockefeller University, Cold Spring Harbor. There's a number of these universities where they're actually studying these kinds of things. And there's also a related term called euthenics, which is the science of race improvement through the regulation of the environment. So it should be coming very obvious to you as I talk about all these different things. And I assure you that everything I tell you, I have documentation of. I do not speak about things on the air unless I can document everything I say. And this is very important for you to realize that this information is out there, and it's time for all of us to start searching for this information because, of course, if we don't, we're going to have a very big problem. We're already having a very big problem. And it's up to the people that have a conscience to do something about it. And, of course, there's a book called Behold a Pale Horse by an author called William Cooper, and I highly recommend this book to all of you. This also talks about many of these things. Unfortunately, William Cooper was murdered by the government a couple of years ago. But they talk about the pale horse being pestilence, and the rider is death. And this is what you have to realize, is that the way that they're going to be decreasing the population is by biological warfare and chemical warfare. And these are why they're doing all of these studies. And I just want to remind you of a quote someone by the name of Pastor Martin Neumann. And this was given after, the Nazis invaded, Germany and took over, and they were...
Dr. Carley, can you...
Yes.
Do you hear me? I was just
yes,
wondering... Oh, excellent. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting. We do have a caller online waiting for you.
Okay, great. Let me just read this quote, and then I'd love to talk to the caller.
Thank you.
We have a caller. Okay. The quote from Pastor Neil Muller is the following. In Germany, they came first for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time, there was no one left to speak for me. So it's time for all of us to get involved, folks, in what is going on. It is going to be the people that is going to put a stop to this mass genocide that is occurring on all levels. Okay, let's hear from the caller. Who's on the line?
Hi, Dr. Carley. This is Linda in Las Vegas.
Hello, Linda.
And I thank you for your time.
Sure.
I did have a couple questions. We've heard some of your audio files online, and I have a son who has who's had a progressive disease happening, and I'm sure it's because of vaccinations and heavy metals. At the age of 8, he had some eye tics, and we took him to the eye doctor, and they just gave him exercises to do. And then when he was 13, he began having verbal tics, and now he has OCD and social anxiety and, of course, motor and vocal tics. And I wanted to find out, first of all, why this could have been a progressive disease.
Well, did you read the documents on my website, Inoculations, a True Weapon of Mass Destruction, in my response to the CDC?
Yes.
Okay, as I explained in those documents, what's going on in all of these neurological vaccine-induced diseases is demyelination. And the reason it becomes a progressive situation is because as the demyelination progresses, it involves more and more nerves, and so more and more areas are involved. And as I always explain to people, the only thing that determines what neurological condition you end up with, although vaccines cause all autoimmune diseases and cancer, but these are all autoimmune diseases of the nervous system. And the key test to prove that that's the case is to do anti-myelin and or anti-neuronal filament antibody tests. Rarely, if ever, are these tests done. And I can assure you that if you could find a doctor that would do those tests, you would find, in fact, that your son has these antibodies present. So because of the fact that the viruses are injected into you, that's the reason that you cannot eliminate the viruses yourself from your body. It causes a corruption of the immune system where the antibodies continue to be produced because the viruses can't be eliminated. The only way I have ever found to eliminate these viruses and get them out of the body is by using homeopathic nosodes, and that's what I teach people about. But the viruses are in his body. They're reproducing, they're mutating, and he's continuing to form antibodies. And as the antibodies continue to attack more of his nervous system, that is the reason that he's developing more and more tics.
Okay. And we actually right now have him on some nosodes. We've got bacterial nosodes on board, vaccinosis nosodes. Some vaccine nosodes, and he has been taking, in conjunction with that, many biomeds to support his system, and bovine colostrum.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to find out, is 4 of the colostrum capsules a day, is that good, or do we need to increase that to a higher level?
Well, let me just say, first of all, I don't give medical advice, okay? I'm just telling you what I would do if I was you, but it depends on his body weight. Colostrum is not a toxic substance. You cannot overdose on it. So basically, depending on what brand you're using, I would just follow the label instructions.
Okay, excellent. And how actually do the nosodes reverse your system from attacking your own myelin?
That's a good question, and let me explain that for the listeners, because a lot of people don't even know about homeopathy. Of course, I never learned the word in medical school. What homeopathy is, it's actually the energy of the substance. It is so dilute that there's not any of the actual substance in the preparation. It's the energy of the substance. And by giving your body the energy of the substance, it causes you to push the substance out. And that's how homeopathy works. And that's the reason that you can't get a disease from the homeopathy, unlike vaccinations. Vaccinations are actually a corruption of the principle of homeopathy. They were basically developed about the same time. And vaccinations are where they're actually giving you the viruses and bacteria, et cetera, and injecting it into you with the purpose, allegedly, of having your body develop an immunity to that substance so that if you encounter it down the line, your body can fight it off. But, of course, your body is so busy trying to fight off what was injected into it, having had the immune system corrupted, that this whole principle of inoculations is a total fraud. But the homeopathy works on the energy level. And that's why the medical profession calls it quackery. The medical profession knows nothing about energy. You know, in medical school, we study the nervous system in terms of its electrical impulses and things of that nature. But there's nothing taught about the energy system of the body, the chakras, the meridians, things of that nature.
Okay, and if you had a vaccination that that included, like, myelin tissue in it, is that what makes your actual body attack your own myelin?
Well, as I describe in the paper, Inoculations of True Weapons of Mass Destruction, there's actually various mechanisms by which this can occur. But the main two, as far as I'm concerned, are the fact that certain proteins, especially on the measles virus, are actually very similar to the myelin sheath. So as you're developing antibodies against the measles virus, those antibodies will actually attack the myelin sheath. But in fact, they're putting all kinds of things into vaccines, and especially the tissue cultures. These are the main culprits. Whatever they're making the vaccines out of, and there's at least 13 vaccines now made out of aborted fetuses.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine that you're getting some myelin tissue from aborted fetus in your vaccine, because when they actually make the vaccines, produce the vaccines, there's no way to separate the tissue that the viruses are cultured on from, you know, the tissue itself. And so you're getting, it's like a witch's brew of different components that they're putting all together in the syringe. So there's also that possibility that you can be getting some myelin from whatever tissue that the vaccine virus was cultured on, also injected into you, in which case you would actually develop antibodies against the myelin or the nerves. And this holds true for all autoimmune diseases. If you develop antibodies against the thyroid tissue, you develop autoimmune thyroid disease. Against your own DNA, you develop lupus. This is the cause of all of these problems.
Okay. I'm really not clear on how you stop that antibody from attacking your own myelin.
By uncorrupting the immune system and by getting the viruses out of you.
Okay.
That's what you have to do, is get the viruses out of you. And that's what the homeopathic nosodes do. They allow your body and get your body stimulated to push the viruses out. The reason you create antibodies is because you have these organisms in you. And that's your immune system's job, is to, you know, create antibodies. But, of course, the way the vaccines work, they're actually not only putting the B-cell system into hyperdrive, which is forcing the production of way too many antibodies, especially when they have the adjuvants in there, which are put in there to make that process much more intense. But the T cell system, which are the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to be gobbling up the viruses, bacteria, cancer cells, etc., are actually paralyzed because both arms of the immune system cannot work at the same time. It's not enough to just coat an organism with antibody. You need the T cells to come in, and that's what attracts the T cells, is the fact that these organisms are covered by antibody. And so you need the antibody to also be followed by the T cells coming in to push them out and to gobble them up, however you want to describe it. I try to explain things in a simplistic term so people can understand. And because of the corruption of the immune system, that's not happening. So what the colostrum does is the colostrum enables your body to uncorrupt itself. It actually teaches the immune system how to work again. That's what is done when mothers breastfeed their baby, and especially the first milk, which is the colostrum. That's what's helping the baby's immune system learn how to work. And so you need all of these things. And there's also homeopathic remedies that will help repair the myelin, and there's other nutrients that will help repair the myelin, and that's what my protocol involves. It's not just a matter of the homeopathy and colostrum. It's also many other supplements that will help repair the damage. And, of course, alkalinization is also key. And it's not even just enough in many cases to take out the viruses, and that's why I do a very detailed history of people. As a matter of fact, I've now had someone sent me a scientific paper showing that even pesticides can cause demyelination. So it's it's always the big picture. It's all of these different things that are involved in taking away our health. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, is how that's being done on purpose.
To another person.
Pardon me?
Have you heard of Epicor? Do you use it?
Well, I don't get involved with discussing different products. That's not what the show is about.
Okay,
if
so
you want to call me off the air
product,
and talk to me, we can do that. But, you know, people always tell me or ask me if I heard of this, if I heard of that. I've heard of many things. I use what works. I don't sell products. I oftentimes will try new things, but, you know, there's no point in reinventing the wheel. So if you want to discuss, you know, certain products with me, you can call me off the air for that, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye. Okay. So let's get back to eugenics and genocide. And I know this is a very ugly topic, and people don't like to believe that they're doing these things on purpose, but I have so much information in front of me, documentation that this is in fact happening, and this is what you have to realize, is that the concern, the reason these things are happening, and people are being made sick on purpose, and unfortunately, my profession is being used to propagate this genocide by all the different things that they're doing. Vaccines that corrupt the immune system and cause all autoimmune diseases and cancer. And then once you get these different conditions, they will give you their prescription drugs, which in almost all cases not only make the problem worse, but actually cause additional side effects, which then cause you to get more prescriptions, which then cause you to get more side effects. And this is what puts you into the vortex down to death. And it's oftentimes not a very pleasant death, especially the people that have cancer. I'm getting so many people calling me lately with cancer. It's unbelievable. They're putting out in the media this lie that the cancer deaths are on the decline. I can assure you that's not true. And everybody I know has somebody in their family with cancer. And what you do to treat, quote-unquote, your cancer is going to make a very big difference in whether you continue to live or not. And as I said, I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I would do if I was you. Because I have realized that all of these different treatments are actually making people die, making them sick, making them suffer, altering their DNA, as I talked about on last week's show, which the topic was genetic manipulation. These are the kinds of things that they're going on. And it's very important for us to do something about it. Now, of course, not many people are going to want to do what I do and, you know, go on the air and talk about these things. People are filled with fear. But it's very important for you to spread the word amongst your loved ones and to at least educate people as to what's really being done and what the agenda is. Because once enough people wake up, once we have a critical mass of people that realize that all of these alphabet agencies that we're paying our tax dollars for, the Fraudulent Drug Administration, as I call it, the FDA, the EPA, all of these alphabet agencies, their agenda is not what you believe it is. They're actually doing the exact opposite of what we believe that they're supposed to do. And this is the reason that we have to educate ourselves. This is the can make the difference between life or death. And it's just truly amazing. I want to thank all the listeners and my clients that send me so many emails of different articles that are all over. There's no way I could possibly ever investigate things to the extent that I'm able to get this information by myself because there's just not enough hours in the day. But you also have to be aware of a very important situation that also goes on. And that's why I always tell all of you, you must discern the truth for yourself. I can promise you that the information I give you is information that I've found and that what I've discerned to be the truth. But I'm not saying that I can never be wrong. And if any of you ever find any proof that I'm wrong about anything I talk about, I ask you to please share that information with me. And I will come on the air and I will tell people that I was wrong about something. Because my goal is to find the truth. The truth is out there. And if you start looking for the truth, divine intervention comes in and will help you find the truth. And this, as I said, can make the difference between life or death. But you also have to be aware of something called controlled opposition. And controlled opposition is when a group or an organization purports to represent the true best interests of the public, but is misdirected into activities that cannot possibly attain the goals of the organization in order to serve vested interests. And one of the groups that's involved with vaccinations, which does this, is the National Vaccine Information Center. And I'm going to be giving you some information tonight from a book called Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare by Dr. Leonard G. Horowitz. Now, I don't agree with everything Dr. Horowitz says either, and there are many people that think that he is possibly part of the controlled opposition because he doesn't really give the solutions. He basically gives people a lot of fear. But he does have a very good segment in this book about the National Vaccine Information Center, and he calls these controlled opposition groups AstroTurf organizations. And he says that like America's biological weapons industry, concealed pharmaceutical interests contaminated the National Vaccine Information Center from its inception. So that's what people have to realize is here we have this National Vaccine Information Center that is a very large organization. I have no clue how much money they make with all their donations from their members. The two mothers who started it had vaccine-damaged children, and so, of course, that makes you believe that they're going to be, you know, telling you the truth and are going to be having the right reasons for forming this organization. But then when you research it, you find out that, in fact, the pharmaceutical industry is backing this organization. And one of the main purposes of this organization was to get this a quote-unquote historic law passed where the Congress actually worked with these two individuals, Barbara Lowe Fisher and Kathy Williams, in 1986 to create the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Compensation Act. Now, of course, this sounds like a good thing. This sounds like, oh, we're going to now have a place to go where our vaccine-damaged children will get compensation. Well, this has done many things, of course. One of the things that it's done is taken the liability for the vaccine injuries away from the causers of the vaccine injuries, that is the vaccine manufacturers and the white coats that are injecting them into children. But also, it's, of course, funded by your taxpayer dollars. So once again, not only are you having your children be damaged by the vaccines, but then you're having to pay for this compensation act. And after 10 years, I heard in 1996, I have no idea what they've paid out now, but in 10 years' time, they had paid out over $1 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars. And it's truly amazing that they've paid out that much because anyone that I've spoken to who actually went to the National Childhood Vaccine Compensation Fund to get paid for the damages caused to their child. Now, first of all, what's it worth to have your child killed or maimed by a vaccine? What amount of money is going to compensate you for that damage? That's first of all. But what happens is they have something called the special master that is actually in charge of these hearings, and there's so many loops you have to jump through in order for them to even consider the vaccine as causing the damage to the children. Of course, they have all kinds of timetables that they've come up with. The vaccine injury has to have occurred within a certain amount of time. This is bogus because, of course, depending on the strength of your immune system, and that is what you inherit from your family, is the strength of your immune system. That's what's going to determine how long it takes for the autoimmune disease or cancer to manifest itself. I've had clients that had gotten, especially Parkinson's disease, it takes sometimes 30 years for there to be enough damage to accumulate for you to manifest the symptoms of a disease. And so this whole idea of a timetable is totally insane. But this is the kind of things that they're doing. They're trying to make us believe that they're doing the right thing, but yet, although they've paid out this massive amount of money in vaccine injuries, what are they doing? They're coming up with more and more vaccines every day. So this is a very important subject for all of you to check into. And when you go to my website, you will see, in fact, that I have offered a $10,000 reward for any vaccine promoter to come on my show and prove my documents incorrect. And, of course, nobody will do so. And I'm also going to be extending that offer to what I consider the controlled opposition. And I'm actually working on my first book, which I'm hoping will be out within a couple of months. I'm so busy right now with consults that it's hard for me to get it done. But I'm going to actually list in there some of the individuals that I know are disinformers. And at the top of that list is the author of Evidence of Harm, this man, David Kirby. And you can listen to my interview with David Kirby on this network on Sherry Edwards' show, which is entitled Sound Health, where I asked Mr. Kirby, the question as to whether or not he's ever heard of the term subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is autism when you read the description of it in the medical books. And he claimed that he hadn't, even though I had sent him the documents over a year ago. And, of course, I asked him to read the documents and get back to me and come on my show and discuss this information. And, of course, he never got back to me. And when you go on his website, you will see his background is very suspicious as to who he is and who he's actually working for. And this is what you have to realize, is that they put out so many people, so many disinformers, to lead you down another path. And since autism is skyrocketing, they want people to believe that it's caused by the mercury, and if you take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. A bigger lie has never been told. And so that's what you have to realize, is that there's many sources of information. You have to discern the truth for yourself. You have to check it out, check out everything that you hear, and, of course, realize that there's so many levels, so many layers to this onion, that it's really quite amazing as to how many people are out there trying to lead you down the wrong road. And in my opinion, this is just as evil as the people who are actually doing the deed and giving people the inoculations, which I'm convinced, although there's so many ways that they're poisoning us, they're poisoning the water, they're poisoning the air. I'm going to do a show on the HARP machine at one point, which is the High Resonance Aurora Research Project, this gigantic facility in Alaska, which is actually a weapon of weather. And they can make earthquakes with this technology, and they can cause tsunamis. And as a matter of fact, I was so happy to escape from Florida in early February, because when I had moved to Florida almost 2 years ago, one of the first things I started reading about in the newspaper was how it's not a matter of if but when the tsunami is coming. And they were actually installing tsunami detectors along the east coast of Florida. Now, how do they know it's not a matter of if but when? How do they know the tsunami is coming? And the answer is because they're going to cause it, just like they've done in other parts of the world. And one of the main things that they're doing is decreasing the population, and this is actually their purpose, because the powers that be Some people call them the Illuminati. There's many names for these for this organization. The puppet masters who actually control the world, these people want the population decreased because they consider us all useless eaters. As a matter of fact, in the World Bank documents, they actually call us institutional units. That's all we are to these people. And the only value that we have is when we're doing a job and making an income, contributing to society in that way, whatever our function may be. That's why children aren't considered valuable, and certainly the elderly population is taken out in record numbers. And this is what's going on, and one of the main things that they're doing in order to decrease the population is playing around with our genetics. And this is a very serious situation, very scary, and I refer all of you to one of the most important references in the paper on my website, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, the eighth reference, which is entitled Genetic Vaccines. And this was published in Scientific American in July of 1999, pages 50 through 57. And in this article, which of course purports genetic vaccines to be a good thing, they actually go into great detail and explain to you exactly what they're going to be doing with these genetic vaccines. They're going to be injecting plasmids of DNA and RNA, and these are just circular rings of this this material, which actually decides who we are. It's the very backbone of who we become. You know, this is what we bring together when we procreate. You know, you get half the chromosomes from the mother and half the chromosomes from the father, and they come together, and that's who what creates who we are. And what they're doing with this insane technique is injecting this material into people, and they go into great detail in this article and talk about how these plasmids of DNA are actually going to incorporate into our very genetic structure. And what happens when that occurs is that alters our genetic structure. And that's what they're doing. But it doesn't even have to be an intentional DNA vaccine. As I was explaining when I was answering the questions of the caller, all of the vaccines have foreign DNA. They have foreign DNA of organisms. They have foreign DNA of the tissue from which these viruses and bacteria are cultured to make the vaccines. And this is also being injected into you. And this is what's altering our genetic structure. But when you realize that it's being done on purpose to cause certain groups, certain ethnic groups, to die out, and this is very obvious when you read this book, Death in the Air, by Dr. Horowitz, he goes into the history of public health politics and population control. And one of the most chilling quotes that he has in this book is from a Professor Paul Ehrlich. In 1968, he wrote a book, The Population Bomb, and this is what Professor Ehrlich said. Our position requires that we take immediate action at home and promote effective action worldwide. We must have population control at home, hopefully through a system of incentives and penalties, but by compulsion if voluntary methods fail. We can no longer afford merely to treat the symptoms of the cancer of population growth. The cancer itself must be cut out. So you see, they actually view the growth of the population as a cancer. And that is why they're developing viruses to cause cancer, because that cancer will eradicate the cancer of the population growth. And you can't even conceive that there can be people who are so evil that they would intentionally do things like that. But as I've talked about evil on the first show, and I really encourage you to listen to that show, this evil, this darkness, this lack of love that is an epidemic, and I've realized that it's actually like very much like a virus. And if you're exposed to people who are evil and are doing evil things, and of course there's so many people in this country that have jobs, taking children away from families, police officers that are encouraged to be extremely brutal, doctors that are killing people, and many of them realize exactly what they're doing, especially in the field of oncology. As you're exposed to people like this, and their motto is basically, you know, if it puts food on the table, I'll do it. These people have sold their soul. And once you cross a certain line in the sand and you agree to go along with such a program, it gets easier and easier for you to do evil things. And before you know it, you have become evil yourself. And this is something that people have to be very aware of and be very careful as they're exposed to all kinds of perversion and different things that are happening in our world. It's a very slippery slope, and I've seen personally in my life people that I cared about go down that slippery slope, and it's a very, very sad thing to watch. But it's happening all over, and that's the reason that we're in the situation. And instead, what we need to do is to join together with others that do have a conscience and basically say that we're not going to take this anymore. And of course, I don't promote a revolution. I promote an evolution of consciousness. For us to stand up for ourselves and our families, and just especially in terms of the inoculations, as they're coming up with more and more inoculations and they're trying to force them on us. And I'm sure you've heard me talk about the bird flu vaccine, which has now been licensed. And I encourage you to go to the bottom of my website where you'll see links to various MSNBC articles where they're talking about the bird flu vaccine. And once again, it's not a matter of if, but when. Apparently, there's some high-level psychics that are working in the medical establishment that seem to know that it's coming. And the reason they know that it's coming is because the bird flu vaccine will cause the bird flu, just like the 1918 flu epidemic was caused by inoculations given to soldiers in World War I. And there's a very important book called Vaccinations, the Silent Killer by Ida Onaroff and Eleanor McBean, which I'm constantly recommending to people to obtain and read that book. It's very important because we're going through that situation right now. It's hard to get. You probably have to go to eBay or someplace like that to get a copy. But when you read that book, you will realize that this is exactly what's happening now. And in those MSNBC articles, you will see that the scientists are actually now creating a futures market, and they're betting as to when the bird flu pandemic will occur. Because, of course, in order for it to be classified as a pandemic, there has to be a certain number of millions of people dead. And so that's what that whole betting game is about, as to how fast their vaccine will kill people. So it's very important for you to stand up and speak out and refuse to do it. If enough of us refuse to do it, they don't have enough concentration camps to put all of us into. But it's truly amazing. I just had a call from a naturopath today, actually, who asked me what I would do if I was he, if he had to take the bird flu vaccine. Now, there are actually homeopathic nosos for the bird flu as well. So there are things you can do to detoxify yourself. Of course, if the vaccine kills you, then it's going to be a little bit too late. But what I encourage people to do is to get a backbone and to say no. Just say no, folks. That's what I would do if I was you. There is no way that they're going to inoculate me with anything. Unless, of course, you know, they tie me down or do something like that. But I would rather have them shoot me. I don't care to live in the kind of world that they are creating. But we can change things. We can change things just by waking up a critical mass of the population to have people realize what exactly we're actually paying for. We're paying for our own death and destruction. And in Dr. Horowitz's book, he also talks about cancer investigations and exterminations carried out by the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Investigations. Now, the Rockefellers, of course, are highly involved. They're a very high-level group involved in the control of the world. They're one of the main puppet masters. And they actually did studies in San Juan, Puerto Rico in 1931, and they called this the Puerto Rican Cancer Experiment. And what this Dr. Cornelius Rhodes, who was the program director, did was he caused the deaths of at least 13 Puerto Rican natives following their purposeful injection with cancerous tissues to determine if cancer might be transmitted that way. Now, of course, this was back in 1931. This is when it all started, And this is how they realized that they could actually get parts of cancerous tissues and inject them into people and cause cancer. And that's how the Special Virus Cancer Program was started to be developed. And I have, I think, about 2,000 or 3,000 pages of documents from that program where they're making all kinds of viruses to cause cancer. As a matter of fact, one of the most amazing finds I had in those documents was a quote that almost all breast cancer is caused by a virus. Now, when was the last time you read about that in the news or had your white coat tell you that breast cancer is caused by a virus? The only virus that causes cancer that they're admitting to at this point is the human papillomavirus. And I can assure you that the people that are getting that vaccination are going to get cervical cancer. And, of course, they love it when women get cervical cancer, because what are they going to do for those women? They're going to do hysterectomies. This is another form of population control. But this is the kind of things that's going on, folks, and you really need to start to realize this. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many of you have been to the Denver airport, but there's actually all kinds of paintings in the Denver, Colorado airport, the Denver International Airport, that actually signify all kinds of death and disease, and this is, they're actually celebrating death. And this is a little bit obvious. They actually call it the New World Airport. And they have all kinds of murals there that are showing people dead and dying. And you have to ask yourself, you know, what's going on with this? What are they doing by celebrating death? That's a very hard question, but I want you to start asking yourself about this. And even with what happened with Virginia Tech, now who the shooter was, that's another whole story. I'm not going to go down that road. But there's all kinds of psyops operations and things like that going on. I'm quite sure in my mind that he's a Manchurian candidate. And if you don't know what that is, I suggest that you get the movie. Because, of course, there's more truth in the movie these days than there is in the media. But now, after all this time has passed, there's still articles in the paper every day showing different, you know, memorials that they're having and young people gathering together at different college campuses with candles. You know, everybody is celebrating the death. And I know you're probably not thinking about it that way, but that's what they're doing. They're celebrating death, just like they do with all the different war memorials. War is one of their favorite ways to decrease the population, because they make billions and billions of dollars off war. But, of course, war can be a little messy, and that's the reason that they've pretty much focused their efforts at this point on biological and chemical warfare agents. And I encourage you to go to your local library. This book is in most local libraries. If not, you can go to law library and look up U.S. Code Title 50. Chapter 32, Section 1520 and 1524, where you will see that your Congress passed a law that says the Department of Defense can experiment on any American with biological or chemical warfare agents without their permission, as long as local civilian officials are notified 30 days in advance and they can use vaccines to do so. And that's what you have to realize, is that these criminals who are running our country, they actually document what they're doing. Of course, you have to know where to look for this stuff, but it's, the information is out there. And there's a very important report called Iron Mountain, the report from Iron Mountain. And I actually have a videotape that explains this in great detail. But Dr. Horowitz also talks about this in his book. And in this report from Iron Mountain, they articulated the need for a comprehensive program of applied eugenics to provide the social climate capable of sustaining global governance and peacekeeping. And he calls eugenics the scientific investigation of genetic differences between the races, including the genetic predisposition for diseases among minority and ethnic groups. Because, of course, the minorities and the ethnic groups, especially those in third world countries, those are the most useless eaters in terms of the view of those who control the world. And, of course, that's why they're taking down Africa. That's why they developed the AIDS vaccine. And Dr. Horowitz has documents in this book proving that our government made the AIDS virus and they put it into vaccines, and that's how they distributed it throughout these countries. And, of course, AIDS is now a global epidemic in itself. And the first studies on this virus were done in the homosexual populations in New York City through a hepatitis B vaccine that was touted as a very important thing for homosexuals to get, because hepatitis B is a communicable disease that you can get through sex. And so they talked these individuals who were some homosexuals into getting this hepatitis B vaccine, which actually contained the AIDS virus. And what people don't know is that every single person who got that hepatitis B vaccine came down with AIDS. And this is where the work was initially done. And now it's a global epidemic. But you see, that's not enough. That's not decreasing the population fast enough for them. They want more people to die. And so they're coming up with more and more techniques all the time to do so. But what I have realized with great horror is that the inoculations are the principal way that they're spreading this. Now, there's also, I'm sure, all kinds of biological agents in the chemtrails. I don't know how many of you know about chemtrails. Chemtrails are emissions from airplanes, which do not go away, unlike contrails, which are condensed steam, which, you know, back in the old days, you would see a plane fly through the sky, and there would be, you know, a white line after the plane left, you know, your area, but it would go away with time. What these chemtrails do is they expand and they get larger and larger. And there's all kinds of people that have been researching the chemtrails and what these things contain. And I had a client in Connecticut a few years ago who knew about energy diagnostic techniques. And after a plane flew over her and she started burning on her skin, she actually gave me photographs of her skin. It looked like she had been scalded. And she went to somebody who knew how to energetically diagnose her as to what the organisms were. And she had six different organisms on her, including flesh-eating strep, which I guarantee you is another emerging organism that's being created in laboratories in this country. And this is what we're paying for. And I actually have a copy of testimony in front of Congress, once again, that these people actually, you know, go in front of Congress and talk about what they're going to do. And there was a Dr. D.M. MacArthur, who was a Deputy Director of Research and Technology for an institution that she doesn't mention here. But he actually went in before Congress and talked about the fact that within the next 10 years, it would be possible to create an immune ravaging, you know, organism. And, you know, then the Congress goes ahead and funds this research. I mean, what's up with that? You know, it's truly amazing. I have a very large booklet that I had someone give to me many years ago, which has all kinds of documents of the different genocidal things that they're doing. And one of these documents, published in November 70, is called Military Review, a professional journal of the U.S. Army, and they talk about ethnic weapons. Now, this is something I want you to realize, that they're playing around with the DNA, and that's why their interest in the DNA genome. What they're trying to do is find ways to find out the DNA differences between the races so that they can kill off the ones they want to kill off. And this is beyond the pale. It's so evil. And I had realized many years ago that the condition called vitiligo, where people of color develop white patches on their skin, is definitely because of the fact that they're putting melanin into vaccinations. Melanin is the substance that your body produces, which makes your skin turn color, like when you go out and get a tan, if you happen to be a light-skinned person. But people of color have a lot of melanin in their skin. So what they did was they put melanin in vaccinations. So what happens is you develop an antibody against melanin, and these antibodies then attack your melanocytes. Now, not only is this a social stigma type of a disease, and it's psychologically very difficult for the persons that have it, but I am convinced that that is just a marker, and that there's some other very heinous things in those vaccinations, and they're able to tell who got those vaccinations by the fact that they have vitiligo. And I have also reversed vitiligo with my protocol. So all of these things are very important for you to realize that this evil does exist. And I've had a lot of people tell me that if you, you know, pay attention to the evil and you discuss it and you get into great detail about it, then in fact you're giving more energy to the evil. But I totally disagree with that principle, because obviously ignoring the evil is not working. It's getting worse and worse all the time. So many things in our world are being destroyed, and so many people are depressed over what's going on. And I know it's difficult to hear these kinds of things that I'm talking about, but we have to face what's going on. We have to learn who's causing it, and we have to do something about it. We have to have an evolution of consciousness in order to wake up enough people so that people can do something. And each person is going to have to decide for themselves what they're going to do. That's your own personal choice. But of course, the most important thing to start with is to educate yourself and to learn about these things. And I know it's difficult. We're kept so busy doing all kinds of things, paying our taxes and documenting this and that for the government. They want us to jump through all kinds of hoops, which barely gives us even time to have any free time. A lot of people are working 2 and 3 jobs. But it's important for you to at least check things out for yourself and to listen to shows such as this, to learn about what's going on. Because I spend my life trying to wake people up. This is my job, as well as to teach them how to reverse their conditions. And that's the good news. I also have the good news, folks, is that you can reverse these problems. It can be done. And, of course, that's one of the main reasons, not to mention the fact that the pharmaceutical companies are getting very nervous about all the money being spent on nutritional supplements, even though they're not covered by insurance. But, of course, one of the main reasons that the pharmaceutical companies are trying to force this legislation on us called Codex Alimentarius to regulate nutritional supplements just the way the drugs are and have doctors prescribe them. Of course, if doctors prescribe them, they'll take away their licenses. So there's a way that they can control the doctors. But they're trying to stop us from being able to have free access to nutritional supplements. And I talked about that on a show a couple of weeks ago. But getting back to this germ warfare, because this is the main way that they're killing people. And they're coming out with more and more techniques to do it every day. There's something called the Committee for Responsible Genetics. And they say that the overall military spending on biochemical research bearing on germ warfare has increased 400% since 1980. Genetic engineering, which deals with the design of new and virulent viruses and bacteria, is estimated for 1985 to be $267 million. So you see, this Committee for Responsible Genetics, and that name sounds so nice. It's a nice name, Committee for Responsible Genetics, until you find out what they're actually doing. They're developing new and virulent viruses and bacteria. This is what they're doing. This is what so many of these institutions are doing. All these different grants are being given by the Carnegie Foundation. And check out and find out what's really behind a lot of these big organizations as they're giving out grants. Why are they giving out grants to certain groups that are doing things like this? What's going on? Well, you realize that the people that have these different funders are actually part of the group that's controlling the world. And as I said, they want the world population to go down. Now, it's very also important for you to realize a certain problem with milk that I have become aware of. Milk is a toxic poison. There's a very important book by an author by the name of Robert Cohen that I suggest that all of you get, which talks about just how bad milk is. And, you know, in terms of the pesticides that are in the milk and the bovine growth hormone they're given to the cows to make them make unnatural amounts of milk. And, of course, this is transmitted to people. And, of course, the antibiotics they're giving to the cows, which is causing all kinds of antibiotic resistance. But one thing I was not aware of is how much of the milk is actually contaminated with something called bovine leukemia virus. And within the next few weeks, I'm going to be having a veterinarian on who's done a lot of research on this subject. And what she told me is that it's admitted that 89% of the milk supply is contaminated with bovine leukemia virus. That's just what's admitted. She is convinced that it's 100% of the milk products. And this is a very serious situation, because what I also found in my research is that, as it turns out, the bovine leukemia virus, when combined with something called the sheep visna virus, actually creates the AIDS virus. And apparently, this is how they made the AIDS virus, by combining those two viruses that I just mentioned. Now, isn't it interesting that the bovine leukemia virus is now in so much of the milk? And see, this is what creates like a sleeper medical situation, where you have certain things into your body that are actually going to create a disease down the line. And it takes time for a lot of these things to develop, so you never put two and two together and don't realize what actually caused the problem. But when I found this information that the bovine leukemia virus, when combined with this thing called sheep visna virus, actually gives you the AIDS virus, then it became even more obvious to me as to why they have infected the milk supply. Because, of course, that's been done on purpose as well. The cows are getting all kinds of vaccines also. As a matter of fact, the smallest animal that I became aware of that gets vaccinated is a ferret. And if you go to your local pet store, you will see they're always giving vaccine clinics, and they're offering vaccines for ferrets. And what does a ferret do? He sits in his cage and he, you know, runs around on his little wheel. Once in a while, he'll get out of the cage and you'll play with him. Ferrets aren't allowed outside. Why are they inoculating ferrets? What is going on? Because it's all involved. There's so many levels to this. Because, of course, this is a major way that they make money. Then when the animals get sick, you go to the veterinarians, and you're actually contributing to this massive experiment. But there's also the psychological aspects of when your animals die. They're doing everything they can to bring humanity down. And there's a very important book called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. And the way that I describe this book is it's basically, you know, the plan of exactly what they're doing now. And I want to make it very clear. People, there's all kinds of quote-unquote anti-Semitic feelings in the world. And what the Jewish people don't realize is that the evil among them are called the Zionists. Now, what the Zionists promote is Israel as its own state. That's what they promote in public. But what they're actually doing is this is, you know, the Jewish bad guys. There's bad guys of every flavor. But these are the ones who are, you know, helping to bring about the New World Order. And it's really quite amazing. In this book, they have these different protocols. In the last paragraph of the 10th protocol, I'm going to read it. I'm going to quote it verbatim, what it says. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, by want, so that the goyim see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty in money and in all else. But if we give the nations of the world a breathing space, the moment we long for is hardly likely ever to arrive. And that is exactly what's going on now. They're utterly exhausting humanity. Because people have so many problems today, financial problems, problems with illness. If you've got a sick child, that's going to take all of your attention. Or a sick elderly person. If you're not somebody who's going to just dump them in a nursing home and take care of them, that's going to utterly exhaust you. So all of these things are being done on purpose to distract you from overstanding the puppet masters and seeing what they're doing. And that's the reason why the people of conscience, no matter what religion they are, no matter what culture they're from, no matter what color their skin, there is good in all people of all different walks of life. And those are the people that have to come together and shine a light on those in their group who are evil, who have sold their soul for cash, who are part of this gigantic matrix that's being created to utterly exhaust humanity, to decrease the population, to create a hell on Earth. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie The Thunderdome, but that's where we're going. If we don't shine a light on this evil, on these people who are doing these things, and I can assure you that so much of this evil is being done in this country, in laboratories and institutions here in the United States. We are, in fact, the evil empire. And that is the reason when I'm out driving in my car and I see people with these little ribbons, support the troops and God bless America and all of these things, it makes me sick to my stomach. What is going on with people that they can continue to support this war that's not only killing so many American men and women in the military, and of course the military is being used as experimental guinea pigs as well. They're inoculating them up the wazoo and killing more military with the inoculations than they're doing with gunfire. But what they're doing to the people in Iraq, which is the cradle of civilization, this is a very important place spiritually. And the depleted uranium that they're leaving there and the babies that are being born with unbelievable deformities, and of course many of them stillbirths, dead babies. How can people continue to support this? It's totally insane. It's very important for you to speak up. And I'm not saying to write to your congressman necessarily, because, of course, in order for anyone to get into the District of Criminals to be a quote-unquote representative, they will never be allowed to be elected unless they're going to go along with the program. So it's not going to really do much good to write to them. What we have to do is start standing up and saying that we're not going to take this anymore. And I'm quite sure that your first opportunity to do that is going to be when they come to your door with the bird flu vaccine. Because, you see, rather than putting people in concentration camps like they did in Nazi Germany, because, of course, there's too many people now and they have to do this genocidal agenda, what they're now doing is putting the concentration camp into the people. And they're doing this primarily with inoculations, but of course there's many other ways as well, including fluoride and things of that nature. And I just want you to hear a quote from dear Henry Kissinger, one of the most evil person alive on this planet, who actually stated in National Security Memorandum number 200 that the reduction of the rate of population in these states is a matter of vital U.S. national security. So you see, while they talk about national security, you have to realize that they consider decreasing the population genocide as a matter of vital national security. And what Henry Kissinger actually said is that the U.S. economy will require large and increasing amounts of minerals from abroad, especially from less developed countries. That fact gives the U.S. enhanced interest in the political, economic, and social stability of the supplying countries. Wherever a lessening of population can increase the prospects for such stability, population policy becomes relevant to resources, supplies, and to the economic interests of the United States. And that's what they're doing in Africa. By killing so many of these people in Africa, of course, that's what gives the multinational corporations the ability to just move right in and take right over and steal the natural resources. So when Kissinger talks about the economic interests of the United States, of course, he's talking about the interests of the U.S. corporations. And that is what the interest is. That's what they care about, decreasing the population so that they can steal the resources of those countries. And what's very sad and so evil is how many churches are now being involved and used to go over there. I've had so many people call me up and ask me about, you know, different vaccines that they're going to have to take themselves to go over to especially Africa, you know, on these missions of mercy. That's what they consider that they're doing. They're going over there to the third world countries. Now, of course, they're going to go over there with the intention of spreading the Christian religion, which is fine. But what are they also doing? They're giving these people inoculations. There's always a cohort of doctors They have something called Doctors Without Borders, and that's what these doctors do. They go into third world countries, and they inoculate them with disease. And they're getting so many of the churches involved with this now. And that's why I'm still searching for any church who will get involved with this inoculation holocaust, especially, as I said, now that 13 vaccines, at least, that's the last I was aware of, are made out of aborted fetuses. This is cannibalism. To inject yourself with dead babies, as far as I'm concerned, is just as bad, if not worse, than eating a dead baby. What's the difference? You have that dead baby's genetic material in your body. And, of course, this is straight from hell, and this is a spiritual assault, and there's no reason that they need to use aborted fetuses to make vaccines, and that's the reason I know that this is being done intentionally as a spiritual assault. And there's actually somebody in Florida that I found out about. I don't know if he's still there. This is a document actually from August of 1980. But there was a minion by the name of Howard Odom, who actually worked as a marine biologist at the University of Florida at Gainesville. And he is a member of something called the Club of Rome, which is actually the foreign policy arm of the Committee of 300. And as I said, there's a book called The Committee of 300 by Dr. John Coleman. I suggest you get that book and read that to learn about who really controls the world. But what this Mr. Odom said is that it's necessary that the United States cut its population by two-thirds within the next 50 years. So this was published in 1980. 50 years from that is 2030. Imagine the population being cut by two-thirds. What would have to happen in this country to decrease the population by two-thirds? Well, of course, we'd have to have a pandemic. We'd have to have a couple tsunamis and some earthquakes and, you know, stimulate gang violence and all kinds of things of that nature. And these are many of the different techniques that they use to decrease the population, and this is what you're paying for. And it's really important for you to wake up as to this fact, that this whole study of DNA, while they're trying to make us believe that they're doing this for our best interests, you know, once they find out all the genes in the body and all the genes that cause disease, they're trying to make us believe that that's going to lead to cures to the disease. What I'm here to tell you is that they're causing the diseases. And somebody very involved in this whole concept of eugenics is a man by the name of Bertrand Russell. And what Bertrand Russell said in a study called The Impact of Science on Society in 1951 was that at present the population of the world is increasing at about 58,000 per diem. War so far has had no very great effect on this increase, which continued throughout each of the world wars. War has hitherto been disappointing in this respect. But perhaps bacteriological war may prove effective. If a black death could spread through the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. The state of affairs might be unpleasant, but what of it? Now, of course, you would ask yourself, well, why would these minions do such an evil thing? Isn't that going to affect them as well? Well, that's how evil is, folks. Evil is so evil that it would kill its own mother. It would betray its own family, its own progeny. But I will also tell you, certainly, that these higher-level minions certainly know about natural techniques and energy techniques and all kinds of technology that's already been developed and different things that will be available, so that if they should be exposed and they should get sick, they will know what to do with it. Because when they're making all these different nutritional things unavailable to the population at large, as they're increasingly trying to do, you can be sure that they're going to have access to all these things. And I see that we've already gone past the time, so I'm going to close shortly. But I want to just suggest one last book to you, which actually one of my listeners suggested to me to this week. And I went out and got this at Barnes & Noble. This is actually a very recently published book. Let's see, when is the date on this book? Yes, actually, of course, it's also in the Library of Congress. This was published this year. And the name of this book is Survival of the Sickest, a medical maverick discovers why we need disease. Now, this is the most insane concept that I could possibly imagine, that this man would write a book trying to tell people that it's good to be sick, that we need disease. And I'm not going to have time to go into it at great length, but it's very interesting. When you read about this, he's talking about how important disease is to our evolution. And it says in the first page of the book that this Dr. Mollem reveals how many of the conditions that are diseases today actually gave our ancestors a leg up in the survival sweepstakes. When the option is a long life with a disease or a short one without it, evolution opts for disease almost every time. And this man actually is an evolutionary medicine person. He works at Mount Sinai in New York City, and he publishes papers in a wide variety of fields, from honeybee immunology to the evolutionary advantages of disease. So this is a very interesting spin now that they're putting on things, because as they're trying to make us believe that we have all these genes for disease and that it is our defective DNA that is causing disease, now we have this minion coming out with a book to tell us how good disease is, because evolutionary speaking, it's actually going to lead to survival of the fittest. But of course, the fittest are going to be sick with the disease. So on that insane note, I would like to thank you all for listening. Please do stay tuned every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time and 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for What's Ailing America. I'm going to be having guests on the show. I'm starting to line up some guests that I know that you will find very interesting. And as I told the listener, if you have any questions, please feel free to call me, and I will explain to you how I do consults, and I will also be happy to answer questions for you on any subject that you would like, because that is my mission, is to help wake up the public. But it's very important, in order for your brain to work, in order for you to be able to critically think, that your body be detoxified, that you learn about the bad things that you should not be doing, because the alphabet agencies are not protecting you, folks. So I encourage you all to help me wake up America, because it's not too late to change things. We can change things in a heartbeat once we reach critical mass. Good night, and I'll talk to you next week.